Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad you're here today, and so am I. I'm the only one, though. Well, almost. I have with my diligent co-host mascot, that would be Cooper, the Highlander cow. He's hanging out right next to me today. So it's nice not to have to drive the ship all alone, you might say. So good day going on here. Glad to have you with us. It is not a terrible afternoon out there if we could set the wind aside. Isn't that a truly Midwest thing to say? A little breezy, not the end of the world. On the breeze, though, we are in far better shape than those folks that are further south of us. So if you were to see what they were up to, where those folks are getting blizzard warnings, I think some of that has backed down now, but it's still happening. So keep an eye out if you are traveling south. We, in fact, have some folks here from the station. Our sports guys are down in, they're in Topeka, and I don't think they're back yet. They have been waiting for things to improve so that they could get on the road. But so far, so good. Oh, wait, there's a question in the back. Looks like Addison, the sound engineer. Question?
Where the heck is that?
Topeka, Kansas? Not been there, have you?
No.
I'll be driving through there later tomorrow.
I'll take a souvenir. I'll accept like a snow globe.
Christmas ornament, shot glass, anything.
Keychain.
Okay, I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah.
Topeka, for those of you who haven't traveled that far south, my route to get through there is to head on down I-29. Sounds like I'll be heading through some past blizzard warnings and so forth once I get there, and go all the way through Omaha to Nebraska City, and then veer right, and then take Highway 75 right down to Topeka. Go through highlights like Holden, Kansas.
I think that's most south I've ever been is Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Sir, I think we need to get you out.
Field trip.
Now, what's crazy is those guys in Iowa, they saw thunderstorms as well as blizzards all in the same state on the same day. That's been happening there today. In fact, I can see on the Weather Channel, Sioux City, Iowa, is really kind of covered in snow, and they probably shut down a lot of their city. I'm just going to ask that by the time I get there tomorrow, could y'all clean that up? That'd be really great. Thanks. For us here at home in this region, we are looking at a windy day with highs getting close to 40. It feels like it's getting better. I was able to take my gloves off. It's not quite as chilly as it was earlier. But then I also see that tomorrow it's going to be sunny and like 55 degrees. So Mother Nature is having a little trouble keeping things smooth for us, but we're going to hope for the best, especially by weekend. Saturday looks like a day that's in the 40s. Friday pretty mild. Saturday not too bad. Sunday, though, there could be that mix of snow and or rain. So keep your eyes out for that, especially because it's going to be in the 30s, so we could be right around that freezing mark. All right. Take care in the weather is my best advice I can give for today. Well, Mother Nature having some wild times in the weather probably adds to the fact that right now we are seeing some pretty craziness around the news and markets as well as we watch National Ag Week progress. Overall, it's been a week where folks are very excited to celebrate what they do in agriculture, aside from all of the weather, of course. We've seen some rises in the market in cattle. Surprisingly, though, we did see a processing plant in Yankton, South Dakota that closed. Most people would think that with the amount of cattle that we're processing right now, the price that we're paying for cattle, we would continue to see a lot happening as far as slaughter is concerned. But with this low number of cattle, we don't need as many processing plants as we once did. We're still running at great capacity, but we just don't have as many head as we once did. So that's a little bit of a change that most folks aren't quite seeing. So right now, okay, other things that we need to make sure that we're talking about would include the fact that Bushel is a business right here in town. For those of you who farm, you are probably familiar with Bushel and the work that they do as a financial tech company. And they have some updates that they are bringing to their platforms this spring, really adding in features for both farmers, ag retailers, agribusiness. And they're putting them in the digital wallet from Bushel. Now, some of those financial tools, goodness, interest-bearing business accounts, because they want to make sure that the competitive interest rates are eligible on FDIC-insured accounts up to $5 million very quickly. What does that mean for you as a farmer or agribusiness? You get access to your Bushel account, and then when you do a grain trade or a major purchase, if you need to have those dollars deposited into your account and immediately begin gaining interest on that settlement, you can, and that's helpful to the bottom line. So that's one of the newest features that Bushel's going to be doing. Also, those bushels provide a really strategic update to generate returns for operations, and that keeps money flowing, especially as we get into tight times of the year where we're waiting on accounts payable, etc. Also, through Bushel's platform, you can now send and request payments directly on the platform to help streamline transactions. Additionally, access and repayment of lines of credit, users can manage those lines of credit within Bushel Farm. And lastly, additional features for 2025 include high-limit mobile check deposits for grain settlement checks, online bill pay, and credit card access. Bushel has come a long way as a startup company here in the Fargo area. They do a tremendous amount of work with a number of agribusinesses. A lot of farmers are very familiar with using Bushel and its advantages in the workplace, as they do quite a bit with, whether it's with grain and with other businesses as well. So what Bushel wants to emphasize is these new features will continue to progress to remove physical payments via check, which tend to rely on the U.S. mail, and we know that there's an awful lot of risk there, including mail fraud. That has been going on quite heavily in the last few months, and we just know that sometimes the reliability has fallen down in some of those outside businesses, unfortunately, even with the post office. Bushel's State of the Farm Report has recently been released. In fact, Jake Jorstead will be joining me here in April to talk about that State of the Farm Report. And it shows that there's a 12% decrease in farmer usage of paper checks for business payments. Interesting enough, as a kid who grew up excited to get her first checking account, I never thought paper checks would go away. Cripes, I never even thought I'd have a debit card. And here we are. And I think I just revealed the fact that I'm probably an 80-year-old lady trapped in this body. And most people are laughing at that. Now, other things that we know that are happening during this week of National Ag Week, do not forget to be sending in your nominations for your favorite farmers, because we are giving away a quilt. It's a 5x7 quilt. It features a farmer's prayer, and I'm taking those registrations. You can go to our website. You can click on the National Ag Week button, and therefore you can go ahead and register who you think is the most deserving farmer or farm family for that quilt. We'll be giving that away on Thursday during this show in the 1 to 2 o'clock hour. And I'm taking those nominations as they come in, keeping them handy so we're able to go through them and draw someone out of that nomination pile. It's a great quilt, especially as we've had some chilly days this winter. We're getting towards spring, but what a lovely addition to your home as we think ahead for the fall already. So don't forget to get those in to me. And I've also had more students reaching out about the assistant ag director position, and love having students come in and join me once a day or once a month. I need someone every day from within that month to, or one day within that month to come in and be my assistant. We are going to go through all of the headlines. You'll have the background information. Then we will do the Q&A with guests that we have on the air that day and so much more. Like having you as part of the day of what we do here. The last sales or assistant ag director I had with me for the day, we did things like a sales meeting. We recorded some promos. There's always fun things to do. And if you're looking at a future in communications, this is indeed your chance to do a little practice. So looking forward to having students work with me. Now, we talked earlier about the weather, and there are, in fact, more ways to keep an eye on the weather than one might have thought. It's not just about whether I can plant today if the humidity is high and I have to think about a fungicide, but in the aspect of livestock, one of the things that we should think about is the weather stress that happens on cattle, sheep, and other animals. Down in South Dakota, the South Dakota Extension Feedlot Management Specialist, Warren Rushi, he began thinking that through, especially after we had some storms a couple summers ago that really created chaos where we didn't have enough wind to blow around some hot temperatures. We'd recently had rain and there was high humidity. And we had cattle on feedlot in Nebraska and Kansas with high death losses simply because of those factors. Also, it was early June. It was earlier in the season. Animals had not yet lost their winter hides, etc. And so what Dr. Rushi and others are doing down in South Dakota is they wanted to build a climate prediction model to be used for the livestock, primarily focusing on South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa. They have worked with a climatologist from the University of Nebraska to build what they are calling the climate prediction model. And it's for the, again, for livestock, comprehensive climate index. And it works for both hot weather, cold weather, can predict up to 72 hours in advance as to what measures you may need to take with your herd in order to give them less stress and great comfort. Now, when you're talking about the hot weather, in some cases that may mean spreading them out, getting them closer to water. If you're in a feedlot situation, you might be turning on sprinklers. You could also be increasing water flow as much as possible in order to get those animals to continue to keep cooling themselves off. Additionally, in the very cold months, they could be using those predictors to plan ahead when you have cold weather, like we often have talked about here, blocking the wind with panels, making sure we open up those barns, keeping those little calves warm so that we don't lose any of them. And especially even with sheep, they are very susceptible to the cold weather. So using this index, they are factoring in temperature, humidity, wind, solar radiation as well, and they make a single value that represents the environmental stress that the animal could be under. And that way you can look at that climate index and you can see it for newborns, for adults, there's wind chill, there's heat, and so much more. So a neat prediction tool that can be used for multiple producers coming out of South Dakota. We'll see if there's an expansion into North Dakota for it as well. South Dakota uses a meso network similar to what we have for Endon. One of the ways that they can gather so much data is those stations are approximately 30 miles apart. So you have very overlapping circles, you might say, to find the data when needed. All right, that's just a few of the things that are going on in ag today, but excited to have with us our guest, and that is Hunter Pinky. Hunter was a football player in the region, but unfortunately a skiing accident sidelined him, and then he's had to make some changes as his career's gone on. We're going to talk to Hunter and about farming when you have some new challenges ahead of you. Looking forward to visiting with him after we catch up with the American Ag Network and Markets. Well, there he is. That's the sounder for my co-host today, and that would be Cooper the Highlander Cow. He's hanging out in my chair because we're without our meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, today. So as we settle in for the day, there's always great things to talk about, and one of them can certainly be our guest. Our guest today is Hunter Pinky. Hunter, he is hailing from the state of North Dakota up in the north central part of the state, and we have a great story to talk about with Hunter. So would you care to give a little introduction of yourself?
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been probably a few months since we last chatted.
Yeah.
But it's good to chat with you again. I guess the brief introduction, I'm a North Dakota kid. To put my past 5 years into a small little bucket, I was playing football at the University of North Dakota. And I got in a skiing accident. I'm a T6-7 complete paraplegic. So I had a spinal cord injury and then went down to the University of Arizona, got my master's degree, and I'm now back in North Dakota living again. And I'm a keynote speaker around North America, as well as getting back into agriculture, which is pretty exciting for me.
So you say getting back into agriculture. Was that maybe not your intention when you were in college, was coming back into the farming realm?
I don't think it was my intention. It's interesting to think back on it now. I think I had a desire of it. I always enjoyed on my off days during football, fall camp or the season, going out and driving the grain cart for my grandpa. But I majored in mechanical engineering, and so maybe I thought I'd be on the ag side of engineering and work on the design aspect in the agricultural field, but I didn't think I'd actually be in production agriculture again. And especially when you have a spinal cord injury and, you know, I live life in a wheelchair, I didn't really know the possibilities that were going to be available to me going forward. So I had my eyes open that, you know what, I can still be out in the tractor. I can still be in the field in September and getting crops off. And that was pretty cool, because I think a lot of people, when you have something happen, you know, life-changing event, they think, oh, I can't do what I used to like to do. And you can, you just have to do it a little bit differently.
Well, we may have folks who are listening who want to ask questions today, and you certainly can do that. Our phone line is 701-293-9000. That's the JLA insurance phone line. And Nate Thorsrud is up at Grandin. He runs an insurance agency specific on crop insurance and so forth. So you never know, Hunter. Maybe I should give you his name and number later in case you need to do some planning for 2025. But in the very least, let's talk a little bit about Okay, so your background, you've got, like you said, some background in production agriculture and doing some work for grandpa, being active in FFA and so forth. So now that you know you've got some hurdles in front of you, has the engineering part of you kicked in as to how am I going to make this work? Because I think there's probably a fair amount of listeners who are saying, all right, if you're wheelchair bound, how are you getting in and out of equipment? What are you doing differently?
Yeah, the engineering side, I had an instructor at the University of North Dakota in one of my engineering classes come in, and we had a guest speaker, and I remember him saying engineering is the best first degree that you can get, because engineering is really just problem solving, whether that be in agriculture, whether that be in the medical field, engineering can relate to all of them. And so I definitely had some problem solving to do after my injury. And the biggest one, the biggest hurdle is, you know, how do you get up into the tractor? Because a lot of machinery, heavy machinery is using hand controls already, with the exception of maybe, you know, the clutch and the brake. But, and that's an easy hand control that you can put in pretty easily. But how do you get up into the tractor?
Right.
And so that was the biggest hurdle. I mean, there's some, what's the best way to say it? Homemade versions, right? You can you know, put a piece of OSB across your forklift and, you know, transfer onto that. That's probably not OSHA approved or approved in a safety regulation. But we did start looking at different options and, you know, the problem solving of how do we do this in a safe manner that can be replicable over and over and over for years to come. And also, how can I do it by myself? Because independence is so big, especially in rural areas and in agriculture, where you're not going to have a ton of people around all the time. There's going to be days where I need to go get in the tractor and go get something done. And we've got one guy trucking over here and another guy's in another field. And I can't have somebody, you know, at my side 24/7. So we started looking, and I paired up with North Dakota Vocational Rehab, and what a great state program that is, helping people, you know, get back to work and doing what they love. And so paired with them, they got a little bit of farm rescue involved. And then we contacted a company down in Indiana, LifeLift Solutions. And that's how we got what is now going to be my solution to getting up on the tractor. And it's a lift that goes on the back of a flatbed pickup. And we'll have to post some links and stuff when this gets posted. But it lifts me all the way up into the tractor now, kind of a articulating arm that swings around to the driver's seat of the pickup. I transfer into it, and it brings me right to the seat. So we're not using a piece of OSB on our
forklift. I was envisioning a pallet, like you were on a pallet getting up there lifted on the other end of a tractor. So this is going to be a little bit more technical, and really I think about like the word escapes me now, but essentially like the man lifts that will extend out with an arm. Why can't I think of what I'm trying to, you know, name, but piece of farm equipment most guys have, telehandler. If I was thinking like it's almost like a telehandler, but telehandlers just move straight out. You would be able to have the flexibility, like you said, to go from driver's seat upward, so you've got a more range of motion perhaps.
That's correct. Yeah. This thing, it's all controlled from a remote that will be just right around my chest.
Sure.
And it's extremely fine and detailed. You know, telehandlers, obviously they're great if you're going up to shingle a roof or going up to a bin, whatever it might be, but they're not going to be as precise maybe as you need it. You know, if you go a foot over to the left, you're probably going to run into the cab and break things that you don't want to break. So this thing is very fine-tuned and detailed, and it gets the job done really well. I'm pretty excited to get it, put it to use here. Coming up, it might be in early spring. Knock on wood. I'm not the one to jinx it, but yeah, it's coming. I'm pretty excited to start using it.
So, with that piece of equipment, is that coming from the company in Indiana that you mentioned? Life Support?
Yeah, LifeLift. Yeah, life. It's a LifeLift, and it did come from Indiana. And as I know, there's not too many companies around the country that are doing these type of machines.
Okay, that was my question: is how hard was it to find something like that to help you in this situation?
Yeah, I remember I looked at a mobility pamphlet from maybe Ag Mobility or something, and they had mentioned their name, and then it just started with a phone call of, this is my situation, where do I get started? And I talked with vocational rehab and anybody that's going through a life change, you know, physically, that needs help getting into, getting back, I guess, to what they want to do. Vocational rehab, that's the point of that state program, is to get people back to work. And so I talked to my rep, Josie in Grand Forks. She's been so helpful, and she got me back on track with getting the necessary funding and going through the approval stage.
All right. We've got way more questions to ask. And again, for those who are listening, and if you want to join this conversation and ask questions of Hunter Pinky, you are welcome to. You can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line. That number is 701-293-9000. You can also send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. And I hope you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV under Weather and Ag in Focus at WDAY. Stay tuned for bottom of the hour news, and we'll be back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, and we're visiting today with Hunter Pinky. Hunter has an injury, and I apologize. I know you said paraplegic, but I don't remember where you said the spinal cord injury was, Hunter.
Yeah, my level is at T6-7, and so what that pretty much means is right in the middle of the chest.
Okay.
If you feel your chest plate, that's pretty much the line.
Okay. That was my question. As I made notes over here, that's the one thing I didn't write down. But I did have a question from a listener who said, well, wait a minute. Okay, with a wheelchair and so forth, you know, often we're using motorized wheelchairs these days, et cetera. And I have seen these, and I don't know if you've investigated them or if they'd be useful, but there are ranchers in Montana who have a tracked wheelchair for outdoor use, and then they can actually stand you up into a standing position. Is that something that would work for you, or have you looked at them at all?
Yes, that was actually one of the first things that I looked at after my accident, because one of the challenges that I saw was, how can I hunt?
Yeah.
My name is Hunter, and I'm from North Dakota. I need to be able to hunt. So that was one of the things that I had actually brought to one of my recreational therapists at Craig Hospital during my rehab, and I got to test out a track chair there. And then Action Track Chairs is a manufacturer in Marshall, Minnesota, right in the, you know, pretty much our region here. And so they're right down the road, and they're the leading distributor in the country and make a great product. So I got one of those in the first year after my accident. I've traveled all over the Midwest using it hunting. And then it also works well in the wintertime and in the spring when it's mucky and muddy. And so I use my track chair. I don't have the one that stands me up. I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'6".
Yeah.
And personally, I just think I was worried about, I'm a big guy and I'm really tall, and I just don't want to have to deal with the aspect of tipping.
Right.
I was still worried about that when I ordered it. Looking back, I was like, I probably could have got it. The engineering side of me was, they've probably figured it out for my size, but mine doesn't stand up. But I use that all the time for hunting and all that kind of things.
Okay, that's good to know, and especially about the agility of it, as you mentioned, with ground conditions, et cetera, because I'm sure that's a question that others have had as well. So there, look, a testimonial on what may or may not work if you're in these types of situations. So that's a good spot to be. Now, you mentioned getting ready for spring. As someone who's going into their first year of farming, where do you start? What are some of the plans that you have or have been working on for the last few months? Because I've got some pretty long-term folks I just saw at the Sugar Beet Show at the Fargo Dome. They don't even know what they're going to plant this year, Hunter. What are you going to do?
Well, number one is I'm not all by myself. My grandpa, he runs the show, and I've got a great relationship with him. I would say he's probably, you know, if not my best friend, one of my best friends. And I talk to him every week, and you know, so he's got just this wealth of knowledge. And my first couple of years here, getting back into agriculture, I'm going to be, you know, 99% listening, 1% talking. I just need to learn. And I've been around it my whole life, but in the intricate details and the logistics of why things work and why we need to do things in this order, I have lots to learn. And so I'm going to do a lot of listening this first year. You know, as far as the actual work that I get to do, you know, there's a lot of back end work. As many people in agriculture know, the fun part is in the field.
Yes.
but, you know, the how we're making bottom lines work and our plan and how it's all going to happen in the field, that happens months and months of planning, you know, leading up to it. So it's been fun to be a part of that. There's obviously some challenges, especially this year where with prices are at and, you know, input costs, it's going to be challenging to find profits this year. But so there's that aspect of farming that, you know, whether you're standing up or in a wheelchair, it makes no difference. And then there's the fun part of actually getting to execute that plan that I'm looking forward to getting going here in the spring.
Did you spend your winter months looking around at new farmer programs, young farmer, starting farmer, all those types of things as well?
I did. It's interesting when you start looking at like the details of whose name is on things and who's paying for stuff. That is all, that's kind of above my pay grade. I allow, we're going to have professionals do that because, there's probably some things that I don't understand quite yet. So yes, I have looked into those. But I haven't gone through with any of them, as of yet.
Well, I can understand where there might be a few things that are going to take a little time, but you do have you have great guidance. I know your Grandpa Fred and the businesses that he has been involved in over the years, as well as farming. So it's going to be fun to watch how you guys go through the next couple of years, because beginning farming isn't just one season. You're probably going to think of this for a few seasons, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. and there's things that you know, I think about now that I'm like, well, you know, I could do this. And for instance, we're a minimal tillage farm. We run a Selford over all of our acres just to get the seed bed ready. So that's something that, you know, I could run that all day long.
Sure.
But then, you know, running a drill, you know, going however many acres you can go on one of your tanks, you know, 30, whatever it is. Well, then you're getting in and out how many times per day? That's probably not the most efficient job for me to do. With the added time of, you know, getting in and out of the tractor and then having to, you know, get into a truck and dump your truck. It's like, maybe I should just do the tillage for all of our acres and allow somebody else to do the drill. And then in the fall, you know, should I be running the grain cart or should I be running well, that's probably a better idea than, you know, me getting up into a truck and sitting while another truck gets filled. So it's kind of been fun to think about logistically what is the most efficient way that I can help and not be wasting time. And that's been kind of fun to think about is the challenges that arise with my mobility, but also how it can work smoothly.
So one of those things of working smoothly is going to be labor. Because there's certain aspects that you can do, especially because now you have the lift and you've got more access into equipment. But there's probably some limited things that maybe Grandpa Fred can't do. So what fits in between that? Have you got some labor or are you working on that so that you've got extra hands on deck for items?
Yeah, we do have multiple people that work alongside my grandpa at the farm. And not only, you know, are we in production agriculture, but we also have dealt products and deliver plant growth hormone products all around the upper Midwest region. And so there's that aspect of the company as well. And so well, we've got people on deliveries and semis coming in to get unloaded. You know, can I drive a Bobcat? Can I drive a forklift? Those kind of things. How do we kind of fit the puzzle you know, with the right type of pieces to make this thing all work. I think that's one of the joys of farming is there are so many different aspects, and no day is exactly the same. And then you just add in the wrench that I can't use, you know, 75% of my body. How are we going to make this work? And that's fun. You know, I think a lot of people see it as, oh, you know, it's detrimental. It's a fun challenge. You know, of course, it can be frustrating at times, And there's times where I've had to put down my pride and say, I can't do this, right? But then the next thing is, okay, I can't do this right now, but is there a way that I can do it? And that has been really fun for me, not just in agriculture, but really in life in general, of it's added a new challenge in my life, but with those new challenges come solutions. And when you solve challenges, and create these solutions, not only is it beneficial to me and it's fun for me, but then you can go and tell other people about how you did it. And they can take something from you. And I've taken so many things from other people in my situation and using wheelchairs and have mobility issues. So that's kind of a fun part that I don't think a lot of people think of as fun, but it's a mindset shift of, you know what, this is an opportunity to make something better.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, you're in a certain class by yourself, but not entirely alone. When I think about the farm rescue folks who've been helped, think of a guy like Doug Beekler down in Emmons County who lost an arm and a baler. And so he has mobility access problems like you do. He had to figure out how to do it differently. Whether you are someone who lost fingers in those old tarps that we used to jump off the trucks and get caught and, you know, rip a finger. If you, other things that have happened over the years, you've got the bad hip, et cetera. We all have some sort of an injury. Some are just more magnified than others. And I'm hoping other people are listening to you and going, you know, I probably can do this a little bit differently. And do you think you'll find yourself giving some of that advice more and more often to others to help be positive and overcome those challenges?
I think so. I think I've already probably started.
yes.
And I don't think I'll ever stop asking. Because if I'm not asking and if I'm not looking for new ways to do things better, I think I'm doing myself a disservice. So I hope that people don't stop asking as well. I hope I get asked because, you know, five people working on something, five ideas are a lot better than just my one idea. And so I hope that it continues. And I definitely know that I'm not going to stop asking around either.
Oh, I think that's huge. Because it's not just even in farming. Like you said, you like to hunt. So there's other adaptability items that can be used in that respect too. There's plenty of things that we can all continue to do, no matter what our injuries might be.
Oh man, Bridget, shooting my bow. I don't know how many people I ask, what's the best way to pull that? Cause I still want to pull back my compound bow. And, you know, is there a better backrest that I can use to get some better stability? And, you know, what's the best counter, all that stuff, whether it's hunting, farming, I'm always looking for something to help me out.
Okay. This is sidebar. Quick question. So are you using a compound or did you go to a crossbow? Is one better or different for you versus the other?
Yeah, I do use my compound bow.
Okay.
You know, it's different for everybody. I have two really healthy shoulders right now. You know, 20, 30 years down the road, after, you know, decades of wear and tear, they might not be as, you know, as good as they are right now. And maybe I will switch to a crossbow. But right now I'm still shooting my compound and it's one of my favorite things to do.
Okay. So last question. And this is probably a little bit more of a crystal ball, but medical miracles happen all the time. I have a coworker here who had a heart transplant on Thanksgiving Eve, and he is out walking around doing his job again, sports reporting. What do you think the chances are that there will be some miracles that happen, maybe not miracles, but some events that happen in the medical field that allow you to potentially walk or at least change your 75% lack of mobility?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get asked this one quite often, and my answer is number one is just because we haven't seen the big miracle of, oh, you know, Hunter Hat isn't walking yet. That doesn't mean that number one, there hasn't already been a miracle. You know, I went headfirst into a tree and I don't have any type of brain injury.
Yeah.
I have two working hands. I did not break my neck. That's a miracle in itself. So number one, let's not let what hasn't happened yet deter us from what already has happened. And that I'm a miracle even that I'm alive. So that's number one. And number two is I do think that I'm going to walk someday. That would be an incredible ending to a story. I think it would show that, you know, there's faith, there's hope, you know, have faith in the hope, but I don't need that to happen, Bridget. Like, I don't need to stand up mm-hmm. for my chair to be worth it.
Right.
Or, excuse me. I don't need to stand up for my chair for my life to be worth it. I can do so many things from my chair. I can love people. I can be loved in return. I can, you know, go and accomplish things that I never even thought were possible sitting in a wheelchair. Someday I would love to stand up, and I really do think that it will happen. Medical advances. I believe in a big God, that miracles happen every single day. But I don't need that to happen. I think someday I'll stand at the gates and I'll stand up out of this chair no matter what. Whether it happens on earth or not, that's not too big of a concern of mine.
No, but a lot of other people need to hear those words, Hunter, and I'm really glad you shared them. So thank you for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Bridget.
Well, do you want to make sure folks know where to find you if they want to catch up with you on social media or if they need
sure.
to have you come and speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can get in touch with me on social media. My handles are Hunter_Pinky. Pinky spelled pink with an E at the end. And then the best way to contact me for any type of speaking event or that sort of thing is through my website. And that's just HunterPinky.com. You can email me directly through there, through the contact tab. And you can go see all my video content, keynote addresses, all that kind of stuff is on my website. So you can go check that out.
Thanks, Hunter. All right, folks, stay tuned. I will play weatherman and give a recap of the weather and some last headlines when we return. Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, and we've been talking about so much technology, and one of them, of course, is just simply even moving around the farmyard like Hunter was just describing, being able to do that with the lift chair that he can use from a pickup to a piece of equipment. We talked about the track chairs and the stand-up equipment, but sometimes we have to go back to a few of the basics, and one of those would be the technology you're using on the farm. Don't forget that right now you are a target, unfortunately. We hear that from the FBI and Homeland Security, and we want to make sure that folks are doing everything they can to protect their data information on the farm. One of the ways you can do that is with Tech Support Farm. Give Chris a call. Check him out at the website, techsupportfarm.com, because that technology is supposed to help you. And if you have any questions, Chris is going to be great to answer those for you. So earlier today, I had an opportunity to get to the Sugar Beet Show. It is the International Sugar Beet Institute held up at the Fargo Dome. Addison kindly has some photos that I took up there. And if you're watching on our live stream, and again, you can do that on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV, and you can do it looking for WDAY's Weather and Ag in Focus. The first one is a short video I shot of a self-driving sugar beet machine. Literally, this combines all the functionality of what you need to do to harvest sugar beets. We always called it lifting beets. And then there is a storage tank, if you will, where they roll around in the basket, the soil gets knocked off of them, and then it has an elevator chain that will drop them into the truck. After I saw that, I had the opportunity to see this in a miniature form and in a large form. And it's actually an electric zapper for weeds. And the little video that Addison is showing is actually generating power just like the tractor unit would. And so as you go down your rows, you would be able to zap weeds in between the rows on every field that you're driving across. Then I had an opportunity just to take a scoping panoramic of what was happening at the Sugar Beet Show from the perspective of one of the John Deere tractors that I was in. And it's nice to see all the vendors. We're talking about everything from crop insurance to insulation for farm shops. We're looking at tenders, grain carts, grain trailers, sugar beet trailers, and so much more. There were lots of great photos to take. As I look through some of the photos, again, we saw those self-propelled machines. There were two different ones that were up there. Then the next one was a sugar beet cart, if you will. It's a big blue cart. It looks like a grain cart or a very, very large wagon, but it's a storage unit. So if you're picking, if you're going down the field, you're lifting beets, you're dropping them into a cart instead of a truck, maybe because it's too wet to bring the trucks in the field, or you're at a spot where your trucks are all off loading and you need to have that cart holding beets until you can get them to the end of the field. There, I have some photos of what that tractor zapper unit looks like. You can see the back end of it where there's a big power generation unit that's on the area where you'd see the three-point hitch, and that's what's generating the power that operates the big zapper on the front end. And that's the picture that we're going to use to end the show, and that is the front of that tractor with the big weed zapper. So if you have questions about it, drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com, and stay tuned for Jay Thomas. He's next.